The book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 2, begin reading at verse 18. While you're turning there, I just want to make a brief comment concerning the one hymn Brother Dustin led. It has quickly become one of my favorites, 164. Listen to the last verse. To God I'm reconciled, his pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child, I can no longer fear. Here's where we ought to be this morning, right now. We've come to worship. Listen. With confidence I now draw nigh, with confidence I now draw nigh. And Father, Abba, Father, cry. He also led us in a song concerning My Jesus, I Love Thee. Abba, Father, I'm no Hebrew linguist, but my understanding is that's the most endearing term in the Hebrew language. With confidence I now draw nigh, with confidence I now draw nigh. And Abba, Daddy, Daddy, Father, cry. Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, those things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he shall rise, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father. And I said 27, we want to continue on to the end. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Brother Glenn told me that the emphasis is going to be verse 19. So let's reread that quickly. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Shall we kneel for prayer?
Greetings this morning in Jesus' name, the holy name of Jesus, the name above every name. It really is a beautiful sight on a Sunday morning to look out over this congregation. God bless you for being here. Jesus is here. We have his blessed word. What a privilege we have this morning as we look into his word together as a congregation of brothers and sisters. The sermon title today is Abundant Life. And I will tell you that thoughts keep going through my mind from our week of revival with Brother John Michael. And some of the thoughts that God kept pressing upon me are indeed related to that week of revival. Abundant life this morning. Our actual text, and I found it very interesting, as Brother Jim prayed, he referred to Jesus as the door. That's really not my text, but it's from that same chapter, John chapter 10. Verse 10, the Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill." In other words, the thief cometh not except for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." We want to think about that word abundantly this morning as it connects with spiritual life, abundant life. I have a few questions for us this morning to spur our thinking in line with the message. What kind of life are you living? What kind of life am I living? I believe for most of us, we would say we are born again children of God. We are Christians this morning, which means we are declaring that we are followers of Christ. What kind of Christian life are you living this morning? What kind of Christian life did you live this past week, this past month? Are you satisfied with the life that you are living? Am I? Are you really living? Are you experiencing something that you think would connect with that word abundantly? Look in the mirror this morning and be honest. What kind of life are we living? Is it worth living? Is there any excitement in it? Is there any fulfillment in it? Is there any joy in it? What kind of life do we have this morning? As professing followers of Jesus Christ, the one that the grave could not hold, the one who has power and rose again, what kind of life are we living in him? Would a non-Christian be attracted to your type of life? To mine? When the world scrutinizes your life, do they see Jesus? Or do they see a pleasure-aholic? Or do they see a work-aholic? The alcoholic isn't the only sin-aholic, you know. If you have trouble staying awake in a service like this where Jesus is present, you just might be a workaholic. If you have trouble making special services, you just might be a pleasureaholic. What kind of life are you living anyhow? And what kind am I living? Is it one that gratifies self? And we just want to get ahead more in this world? Or is it a life that glorifies Jesus Christ? Do you have any idea what it means, what that phrase means, to live with an abundant life? The world's idea of an abundant life is quite different than the life that we want to have in Jesus Christ in abundance. The world thinks it's abundance to kind of pig out whenever they want to on their special favorite foods. Go and enjoy the entertainments and the pleasures that are at the top of their list. Boy, that was a good week. I did that and this and that. I did all the things that really turned me on. And I even padded the bank account. And I made a great business deal that's going to make me more money. That's the world's idea of an abundant life. And at the end of the work week, at the end of the day, they find themselves empty. They find themselves dissatisfied, discontent. They find their soul uneasy and not at rest, and there's just a craving for something that isn't there. Yes, the world's idea of an abundant life is quite different. The kingdom of this world, as Brother John Michael reminded us, is quite different than the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Abundant. If it rains, then it rains, and then it rains some more, and by the end of the week you've had 6 or 7 inches of rain, you might hear it said, we had an abundance of rain. In other words, we had a satisfying rain for the parched earth. It was plenty. Okay? Abundant. Abundant life. We're talking about plenty. We're talking about enough that it's very, very satisfying. Maybe it's a farm crop. Last summer is a good example. When you grain farmers went out and harvested your crops last summer and fall, you probably could have easily have honestly said, we harvested an abundance of grain this year. The fields brought forth abundantly. And we had many, many bushels per acre. Plenty of harvest. A satisfying harvest to the workman, to the farmer. Again, John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The thief, the enemy, Satan, comes at you and I with great trickery and with great deceptions. And he's offering us fun and he's offering us fulfillment and success. What you end up getting from the enemy, from Satan, you get stolen from. He robs you blind. And what he's robbing from you in exchange for the temporary fun and fulfillment that doesn't last but a day or whatever, what he's stealing from you is joy and peace. And he's taking your courage, and he's taking your purity, and he's taking your faith, and he's taking your hope. It's a horrible exchange for a child of God to give to the enemy. And yet, many times it happens because the deceptions are there and we can't see clearly just exactly what is going on in this deal we're ready to make. We can't see the outcome. We can't see the future, the tomorrow. And so we're deceived and we're tricked. And we make a horrible, horrible trade. Jesus, on the other hand, came into this earth, into this world, onto this earth, to offer you and I life. He came to offer you and I real life. He came to offer you and I abundant life. And he did it there in verse 11 in John 10 by giving his life. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's how much he wants us to have abundant life. It's eternal life, and yet it's not just something that we wait on when we slip through this life in death or in the rapture, but it's now. Abundant life is now. And so that we could have that, Jesus allowed himself to be nailed to an old rugged cross. And there he shed his blood for you and I so that we could be forgiven and so that we could have a new chance and a new life, a life abundant. What all is included in this abundant life as a Christian? Well, there are many things, and I'm not going to mention them all this morning, but one of them is an abundance of peace. People in the world around us, they don't have peace. They have fear. They have an unsettledness within them. What's going to happen to this country? What's going to happen in the world? Crazy men rule in this world, like over in North Korea, people that are godless. And it's only about themselves. And what's going to happen? And people don't have peace. Romans Chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I said peace, I'm talking about grace. Forgive me. And your prayers were very important as you prayed for the minister this week. I actually had three sets of notes. One was entitled New Freedom, another one was entitled Rhodes Grove, and another one was entitled Pleasant Hill Sunday Morning. And I was coming across scriptures and I was, oh, that belongs over here. That one can go two places. And hopefully things make sense this morning. Remember, Jesus is here, you're worshiping him, and you have the word of God. Forget about me. Hear the word of God this morning. We're talking about abundance of grace. One definition of grace is the ability and the power to live life like we should. And that means we'll have the power and we'll have the ability within us to obey God, to obey the Holy Scriptures. And there in Romans 5:17, receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness that shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And that wonderful name, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, that name, his name always comes up throughout the sermon, throughout the Holy Scriptures. It's all about him as Brother John Michael lifted his holy name up. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want to read verses 12 through 15. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before in his life earlier, when he was known as Saul, he was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I say that along with the Apostle Paul. And yet, hallelujah, praise the Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, he was known as Saul. He persecuted Christians. He had them killed. He had them in prison. He beat them. He did many horrible things against the Church of Jesus Christ. And so he's saying it took abundant grace to save a wretch like me. Maybe you think you're too vile. Maybe you think your sins are too gross and wicked and numerous. But this morning we look to a God and his Son, the Lord Jesus, whose grace is sufficient. And it's an abundant grace this morning that can change your life and give you hope. Abundant life in Jesus Christ. We're talking here about abundance of peace. Paul experienced it. And if he could, you can and I can. There may be some here this morning that have never experienced the new birth. They're not saved, and because of that, they're in turmoil. They're scared. That opportunity is available to you this morning to open your heart and life up to the abundant grace of Jesus Christ. To go away a changed person and go away with joy and happiness and peace and faith and hope. Another area of abundant life in Jesus Christ this morning is abundant mercy. And we just read a verse there that mentioned mercy, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Mercy, not being punished the way we ought to be. Receiving a gift, a new chance. The punishment is put off. The mercy of God. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And I believe that verse 6, which he shed upon us abundantly, refers back to everything in verse 5. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There's plenty of it all. Verse 6 says, abundantly, he shed it on us abundantly. And again, it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's through no other name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we're not going to receive grace. We're not going to receive mercy through anyone other than the Lord Jesus. His is the name this morning. And we want to lift that name high. And sinners will come to that name and kneel at his cross and get right with God. There's also an abundance in the abundant life of Christ. There's also an abundance of spiritual truth and understanding. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is teaching in parables. I went through this already one time, but I'm not going to speak here on any parable, but part of the explanation here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 12, Jesus is explaining here. The disciples are wondering, why are you speaking to us in parables? And Jesus says in verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. What's it referring to? When you have a heart for God, when you desire truth and you desire spiritual understanding, God is going to bless you with it. And he's going to give you even more than what you had to begin with. He's going to give you an abundance. But he's saying at the same time a warning to those who do not have any heart. They do not have any desire, any ambition for spiritual truth. That which they've had is going to be taken. And so again, here we find an abundance in the life of the Christian. An abundance of spiritual truth and understanding is available. People like to say, well, I just can't understand the scripture. I can't understand Paul's ramblings where he says one thing and then seems to say another. That which I would not, that I do, that which I do, that I would not. You know, he goes on and on there in Romans 7. And people say you can't understand. Well, when a person has a heart for God and when a person has a heart for the scriptures, they are going to be blessed with understanding. I believe that's what we're being told there in Matthew chapter 13, verse 12. An abundance of spiritual truth and understanding. A heart for God, and God will bless you. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they are going to be filled. That is the promise. It's up to you and I to do the hungering and the thirsting. And God's promise is we will be filled. Also, an abundance of peace and truth can be had by the child of God as they live this life on earth. An abundant life in Christ is available. And part of that can be an abundance of peace and truth. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 16. The setting here is there is a glorious return promised to the captives, to the Israelites. A glorious return is promised. And part of that glorious promise of a glorious return is in verse 6, where the Bible says, behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I want to tell you this morning that there are some who found that abundance of peace and truth during revival week because they were willing to humble themselves and they were willing to say, here's where I'm struggling. Here's what I'm guilty of. I've asked God to forgive me. And then the church forgives. And I tell you this morning, if you're still holding out and you know you're living a wretched, disappointing life and you know there's nothing close to the word abundant in your life, there's opportunity this morning to come clean with God. And you can come into an abundance of peace and truth. The glorious return was promised to the captives there in Jeremiah's day. An abundance of peace and truth was promised when sin's prisoners are freed and return to the Lord of life. They also will experience an abundance of peace and blessing from heaven. And you need that this morning. If you're still holding out and hiding. Many Christians suffer from satanic strongholds and are not enjoying abundant life. You know, some say that, well, all you need is the word of God and you'll get free. I couldn't agree more. True, amen. The word of God gives freedom, especially when we continue in his word. Then are you my disciples indeed, and the truth shall make you free. There in John chapter 8. Yeah, this is true, but God has blessed individuals in the Christian church with the ability and with the gift of counseling to skillfully use the word of God to help individuals who are imprisoned, those who are in shackles. These individuals have been blessed with the gift of counseling to guide you skillfully back into freedom. And that requires an humbling of oneself, that requires confession, and that requires a willingness to get help. An insect that is entrapped in a spider web struggles to gain freedom, but the more that insect struggles, the more entrapped it gets. And it doesn't get out on its own. And it's no different when a Christian can no longer see the scriptures clearly because of believing lies. And gradually, there is more and more darkness that envelops that soul. That soul that is struggling, that soul that is in sin and is being overcome by a besetting sin, possibly. And there's more and more darkness around that soul, and there's no way to see the light. Even if they open God's word, there's just frustration. Yes, the answer's there, but humble oneself. Come clean and get counseling sometimes, Christian counseling, based on the word of God. And one can be helped out of the darkness into the glorious light of Jesus Christ and into an abundant life that he promises for those who have a whole heart for him. Some people are helped tremendously by biblical counsel. And it's because they humble themselves and they apply the biblical principles that they learn to their lives. And they are blessed with abundant life. Sadly, on the other hand, some people actually go for counseling, but they go there in a very resistive manner. And they're still resisting, and they're still stiff-necked, and they're still stubborn, and they're still proud. And they come away from that counseling unchanged. And they're in the horrible darkness and bondage that they were to begin with. It's not that the word of God didn't work. It's not that the counselors weren't skilled and had a heart of love for those who are struggling. It's a stubbornness, and it's an unwillingness to yield completely and humble oneself, to break those spiritual, those satanic strongholds that keep people down, keep people from really enjoying their Christian life. There's no bubbling in a Christian's life. There's no real happiness. There's no real joy. Because the strongholds are there. There is help. The Bible makes it very plain that God resists the proud, but giveth grace, abundant grace, unto the humble. Confess sin. Make known your need and ask for help and get on the path to abundant life. Shame on us Christians, church members. We eat junk food at the World Snack Bar. Nothing of substance, nothing that satisfies, nothing lasting. We flirt with the world, we dance with the enemy. And we slip and we slide and we spin our wheels spiritually in the world's slime and mud. We meander in the world's wilderness, even like the children of Israel did for 40 years when they could have made a two-week trip of it. Why did that happen, and why does it happen to people today? Why are people who are in churches and are called Christians in a wilderness, hardly knowing which way to turn? It's because of not believing in an all-powerful God with all the heart and yielding our whole life to Him with humbleness. It's no wonder Christians are not experiencing abundant life in Christ. Too many times He's not truly Lord and Master. I want to do my own thing. You know how that works. Well, the Bible makes it very plain that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Read it in James chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's pretty sobering. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. That should catch our attention. When the world looks at you, when the world looks at me, do they see a light bright enough to be drawn to it? Are we salty enough to make anybody thirsty? It's time to refuse the world's offerings and start feeding solely at the Lord's table, reading God's word more, praying more. By God's grace, refusing the flesh, answering only to the Spirit. It's time this morning, brothers and sisters, my sinner friend, it's time to receive the abundant life that the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ is waiting to bless you with. And if you put it off during revival, you have an opportunity this morning as we sing an invitation hymn. Brother, what number? 84 in the green. You can accept Jesus Christ for the first time. Stand to your feet. Don't be ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of you. He bore the shame of spitting and mocking, the whole crucifixion. Stand up for Him today. Get your life back on track this morning. It's been derailed and you're in a rut. And you're slipping and sliding, and you can't get back onto the road to success. You can't get back on the road to abundant life. Stand where you are. There's nothing to be ashamed of this morning. Please sing.